I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, it is the Tuesday, July 23rd edition of KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch, and here with me are my co-hosts, Taylor Phelps and Jordan Davis. Guys, we've got a lot to talk about today. First, we're going to start off the day with Jerry Jones saying that a team in the NFL is coming to Los Angeles. We don't know who it's going to be or how it's going to get there, but we'll talk about that. Then we'll do the second segment of the show with the biggest news yesterday. Ryan Braun is a cheater. We'll talk about that. Then we'll talk more Rangers talk, including the Matt Garza trade, and then finish off the show with the Cowboys and a big Big 12 special on the NCAA, see who's going to win this year. So, guys, first, Jerry Jones says that there's an NFL return to Los Angeles and that it's closer than ever. Do you expect to see an NFL team in Los Angeles in even the next 10 years?
Well, the way that sports is going, you know, Los Angeles, a lot of people don't know, used to have a football team.
Two of them.
Yeah, the most recent one I can remember is the Rams. And that's when they had Eric Dickerson. So it's not like they never had a team before, but they relocated. But I heard about this because Oakland, the Raiders, are not getting any love that much in Oakland anymore. Yeah. So they was one of the teams reconsidering moving to Los Angeles. But all in all, I mean, like Roger Goodell said, the league is not expanding. But I think if the right amount of money is put up, that you could see a team in Los Angeles, because as big as a market as Los Angeles is, they could do more than well take over a football team, let alone two. They have two basketball teams in the same arena. Why not have two football teams?
Yeah, definitely Los Angeles is a huge market. As you can see, like you say, they can host two basketball teams and two baseball teams.
Yeah.
So why not have a football team? Why don't they have a football team? Well, like you said, people have left there, and didn't make any sense to me why the Rams would relocate for St. Louis. it's kind of a crazy thing to me, but one team that you kind of look at in possibly making a move to is Jacksonville.
They need it.
The Jaguars don't really have a huge fan base, and they're not any good. So they're sharing a state with two other NFL teams in Tampa Bay and Miami, who are a lot more storied than Jacksonville is. And definitely, if Jacksonville can make a move from coast to coast, those are the big moves that you used to see in baseball that really sparked a lot of conversation and a lot of interest. But to have three football teams in the same state, especially a state like Florida where college football is huge too,
right?
It's different than New York or something like that where you don't really have a big college football team. To make that move, I mean, look at Texas. We only have two NFL teams here. We have the Cowboys and the Texans, and we're the biggest state as any of them and have just as many different fans that root for different teams as any other state.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they go there, they'll be in addition to, what, two other NFL teams? It would be the 49ers.
The 49ers and the Chargers right now.
The Chargers, of course. Mm-hmm.
And the Raiders.
And the college football scene.
So there'd be four.
California, too.
Yeah, there would be four.
Unless the Raiders
are the ones
that
move. State.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unless it's another California team that moves. Mm-hmm. And I don't really see where you're going to get an advantage in that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're
teams.
A California team moving... If you're Oakland and you're going to move to Los Angeles, nothing's going to change. You're still going to have the same fans.
You'll get a better stadium.
You'll get a better stadium. You get a newer stadium, but your fan base is going to be the same. Your players are going to be the same. It's not going to be any different to me.
New jerseys, probably.
But California has so many. And the thing about L.A. is if you move a team like Jacksonville or a team that's not already in California to L.A., then you're gaining a lot more fans. And when you're in California, you're a national you have a national spotlight on you.
Well, it's a question that's not on here, but do you guys think that if another team moved to L.A., do you think it would kill Oakland or San Diego or any of those teams?
Personally, I do. Because you got to think about it. L.A. has USC Trojans, UCLA Bruins, both of them football programs. Well, USC been good, but UCLA is on the come up. Then you have, like you said, the Chargers. You have the 49ers. I mean, all of these professional teams in one state, I believe, can cause problems because that's too much money going to the athletic program because those teams going to need a lot of money, and fans in California are going to pay a lot of money because you have the Kings in Sacramento, you have the Lakers, you have the Clippers, like you have
the Golden State Warriors.
They're on the come up. You have, I mean, the Dodgers, the Angels, like all of these professional sports teams. It's like all for California, like space them out. That's too much competition in one state.
To me, the move comes from someone that's completely non-successful. Like, you're not going to see the Cowboys or the Patriots move. So you're not going to see a huge following happen. You're not just going to see all these LA fans or all these California fans jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, we're going to root for this team. Because if it's Jacksonville, who are we kidding?
Yeah.
We're not going to see a bunch of people that all of a sudden want to be Jacksonville fans.
Yeah. No.
You'll still have your national, you'll have more of a national focus on them. They'll have a spotlight because of where they're located. So they'll have just as many fans, if not more fans, in LA than they have in Jacksonville. But you're not going to see someone like the 49ers would never move because of what they are now. Now, maybe in 10 years we don't anticipate them to be horrible, but if they're horrible, then maybe we could see that move. But this is something that's not just going to happen, you know, out of the blue.
Right.
So definitely when you talk about, you know, will this take away from the Chargers fans, or will this take away from, well, if you were a Chargers fan when they're sorry right now, you're going to be a Chargers fan no matter who goes to L.A.
For life.
I mean, and same thing with Oakland. So I don't really see that taken away from their fan base at all.
Okay. Well, let me get you guys updated on all this. The Raiders and the Rams are both from Los Angeles, and they both finished their last game there on the same day. It was like Christmas Day of like 84 or 74, something like that. So they both came from the same time, left at the same time, and now they're both having significant issues with their respective cities and building a new stadium. I know St. Louis's stadium is pretty old, and Oakland's been at that stupid
baseball
half,
field.
Half baseball, half. Oh, it's stupid.
It's horrible. Like, a team like Oakland with that much history should have a way better football
They should
field
not.
Than that.
And Oakland Athletics don't deserve to be sharing a stadium with the Raiders.
No,
and
not they're at all with their good. Success. Yeah. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're better than the Raiders. But
might be better at football than the Raiders.
Other possibilities are Buffalo. They've got a great fan base in Buffalo, but it is the 37th biggest TV market in America. So, you know, there's always much bigger markets they could go to.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, as we've mentioned. Cleveland, that's always a possibility.
Cleveland needs to stay in Cleveland.
They need to stay in Cleveland.
I think Cleveland stays in Cleveland.
Yeah, okay. That's their only hope.
And then their last possibility is San Diego, because San Diego's Qualcomm Stadium lease runs up at the end of this year. And Qualcomm is not the best stadium. I've been there. I've seen it. It's not the best. So, well, I don't know. I mean, which one of these do you think is the most likely? The Raiders, the Rams, the Chargers, Jacksonville?
It's either the Rams or the Chargers to me. Because if you think about it, what's the other team? Cleveland, they have too much history in Cleveland. Like Cleveland.
Buffalo.
Buffalo, people up there up north, they love Buffalo.
Toronto people love Buffalo.
They love Buffalo. And plus, when the teams like the Patriots some go up there, it's like always sell out.
Yeah.
So they're going to stay because of their fans and their tradition. But Jacksonville, I mean, if they move to L.A., more players would be more willing to go play for them because they're in L.A.
Jacksonville is the most likely non-California team to move. St. Louis, I don't see it happening because they're in a market all by themselves. So
they really
so
are.
So it's not like they need to it's not like, okay, we're separating ourselves from somewhere where we're not getting the same benefits of other people. Right. Jacksonville is kind of like, you know, we have no fans. I've seen maps of like NFL fans, and they're just fake maps.
Right. Yes.
But Jacksonville has like a dot.
Yeah.
And it's Jacksonville.
You
and that's
actually
it.
Know in Jacksonville, the biggest game is Florida versus Georgia, the rival game. And it's like, you're the Jaguars, and you can't even get people to fill up your stands. But
not
these two college teams, one team is not even from Florida. And
I don't even think I can name five players on Jacksonville's roster right now.
No. Maurice Jones-Drew is the best one that I can name.
And Blaine
Gabbert. Help. And Blaine Gabbert don't have offensive line. No. They have receiver, what's his name? Justin Blackman. He's staying in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like a team. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are just terrible. So definitely when we look at out of California teams, I say them. If we're looking in state and we see San Diego and Oakland, probably Oakland because of the stadium issues.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just talk about what needs to happen for a team to move to Los Angeles. first, a new stadium's got to be built. There's got to be a commitment to building a stadium. But for that to happen, a team has to say, we're coming here for sure. So it's kind of a who's going to drop first kind of thing. You know, like, oh, we're going to build a stadium. Okay, so we're going to commit to this. Or we're going to commit to this, so this guy's going to build a stadium. What do you guys think is going to be first?
The stadium
built?
I think the stadium built, because with a stadium comes more ideas. Mm-hmm. So depending on the stadium and depending on the team, right. You got to think about, like, say if the Raiders go, you know, of course they won't. If they keep their colors, hopefully they keep their colors.
Yeah.
You know, if they go black and silver, apparently the stadium will draw more interest for them to come to the city, of course.
Right.
Because if the stadium is not worth nothing, players are not going to want to play in it. So
someone's going to jump on the opportunity to build a stadium right there by Staples Center.
Yeah.
You're going to be right smack right
there.
Dab.
There is a definite possibility of it going right.
You're
going
to be right there in the heart of Los Angeles, mm-hmm. in the heart of sports and entertainment.
Yes.
And you're going to be better off there than you were anywhere else.
I mean, Sports Center LA is right across
there,
the street.
Right across the street.
There's like, you think of markets that are equally as good as that opportunity, probably Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
That's with the storied franchise.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anybody else who would be in a better position.
Maybe Newark. Maybe.
Which one?
I mean,
either team. Just that. Yeah, the
just to be in
have.
New York City.
Yeah.
But to be in the middle of Los Angeles as mm-hmm. as the only football team.
Oh, that's money.
And not to be an expansion franchise, it would definitely be the greatest opportunity for any NFL team that took it.
Well, is there any other steps that you guys think needs to happen for this process to go through? Do you think
Roger Goodell getting on board?
Okay.
Because you know Roger is going to find some type of way to butt in and be like, no, we can't do that. So
I really think Roger will be fine with it as long as it's not an expansion. He doesn't want an expansion, and I really don't either. I think it's good with the amount of teams we have now. But I think definitely that, you know, teams will be on board with it. Owners will be on board with it because it's just more money in their pockets too. So it's the best opportunity for the league.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other cities that have been mentioned as a possibility for teams to go to. San Antonio, they already have an NFL-ready stadium. They've had it for a while now. And I obviously would enjoy that if San Antonio got a team.
Oh, yes, I would too.
And they are the, like, 18th biggest TV market in the country, sharing it with Austin in that kind of area. Then there's been all sorts of rumors that London's going to get a team. I think that's retarded.
But they will.
I don't think that's smart at all.
There's like two games played in London this year.
It's going to go up to three or four within the next few seasons. I don't get it.
I don't understand.
No team wants to travel over there for like every other game and play this.
There's a six-hour time difference from here to London. That's so who's going to be able... You know the difficulties you're going to have in travel? I mean, just travel alone and to, you know, jet lag.
Yeah.
I mean, how is the London team going to play the San Diego Chargers and the San Francisco 49ers? Your division games aren't even on your own soil. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I get that the NFL wants to expand and be a world game, but I think
the games over there make sense. I think having a few games over there and having some games in the world attracts people to the market.
Yeah.
Maybe people watch NFL that normally wouldn't, but to have a team over there.
That's too much.
I mean, we saw with NFL Europe, it crashed. It didn't work.
It doesn't work.
This doesn't work.
They already have their thing. They're not looking for something else.
They have soccer. I mean,
the Premier League is bigger over there than the NFL could ever hope to
be.
And
basketball is growing over there. So,
I
mean, there's no really...
But the world market of basketball is growing. There's not a lot of kids growing up in Europe saying, I want to be an NFL player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, there's kind of an area for those kids to do things. If you're bigger, you can play basketball. If you're... Mm-hmm. You know, most people could play soccer, but definitely the NBA expanding the way it is and basketball expanding in general.
Yeah.
And the way soccer is already dominant, there's no room.
Yeah.
There's no room for the NFL.
Yeah. Well, which do you think is more deserving of a team? You think LA, San Antonio, or maybe another city that we haven't mentioned?
San Antonio.
Okay.
If you look at it, the Spurs, they've been dominant for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Why not put a football team with the Spurs? so you can have like excitement throughout the year.
The Alamo Dome's a great stadium, and yes, their fans are some of the best in
and
the country.
And they have bowl games in the Alamo Dome every year, so why not have a professional football team there?
They do have now three Division I football teams. I
UTSA
think. Isn't it up there?
Yeah,
UTSA and Incarnate Word. I think there's another one. Maybe it's just two, but two Division I football programs. That city could handle a professional football team.
Oh, it could easily you already know from the Spurs, they can handle. All you got to do is fill up seats.
And you
have the Austin area also. It's not like you don't have a big enough geographical area that can draw fans. So that's no problem. Mm-hmm. It's just getting someone that wants to move to San Antonio.
Yeah. And there was rumors back before Katrina happened that the Saints were going to go there. It was actually a very close,
kind of like a New Orleans Hornets kind of thing when they went to Oklahoma City.
And then they got a team. But I think both Katrina and winning the Super Bowl ruined any chance of the Saints.
Oh, yeah, that's never going to happen.
They're there for sure.
There's too much history there, too.
But you know another city that I could see have an NFL team? Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because they have the Hawks.
They have the Falcons.
They have the Falcons. I forgot. Yeah. Matt Ryan. My bad.
Yeah, you start thinking of the cities and you forget what teams are there.
But, I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities for other teams. Like, you know, several states don't even have a professional of any sport. Like,
Arkansas doesn't.
And I know
Kansas.
It'd be hard to pull those people in, but Kansas, New Mexico.
Don't South Carolina and North Carolina share the Panthers?
They share the Panthers.
Okay, they need to split that up. South Carolina or North Carolina. Needs their
own. Now, Carolina plays in Charlotte.
North Carolina.
But they are supposed to be shared by both states, which doesn't make sense.
You see, South Carolina, they have Javion Clowney in the Gamecocks, so they're not tripping.
Yeah. And then, you know, the Washington Redskins are thinking about going back to D.C. Then Virginia won't have a team.
Why would they do that?
Because they want to be like right in the middle, smack dab of D.C., build a new stadium there.
That's bad for Robert Griffin because people would do bad things to Robert Griffin. He don't need to stay in Washington, D.C. He needs to stay where he's at. Okay. Somebody that polarized of a figure. No, people's going to hate on him and be like, oh, that's Robert Griffin. I don't want to be walking around D.C. Yeah.
Especially with his fine wife that he
has. Oh, no. He's not going to like that. He's going to be like, baby, you stay in the house.
Yeah. Just one more question on this before we take a break. Jerry Jones is from California and has had the Cowboys training camp in Oxnard, California for, I think, 20 years now. If a team does come to Los Angeles, do you see Jerry buying that team and maybe like giving ownership and CEO responsibilities of the Cowboys to Stephen Jones or maybe selling the Cowboys even? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think Jerry is a Cowboys control freak. And though he wants... You know, it's different if Jerry's the owner of the Jaguars or the owner of the Rams or something. It's not a storied franchise.
He'll give it up
really easy. The Cowboys are storied, and they're in just as good a position as Los Angeles. It's not like he's going
to
do better in L.A. So I definitely, if anything, I see him buying it and giving it to his son. I don't know what, I don't think Jerry would ever leave the Cowboys.
Oh, no.
He's too much of a control freak.
Like everything he hear about the Cowboys, he's going to be like, "Hey, what happened? Why did this happen?" You know, he basically started them from the bottom.
Cowboys Stadium is his baby, and he's not going to.
What about Steven? Do you see Steven going?
Oh, I can see that.
I can see that for sure
because he's probably tired of being up under his dad for so long. He probably wants to get up and do his own thing. You know, I can see him. I can see Jerry giving him the money and be like, if you want a team, go ahead and do it. But I'm not leaving Dallas. You're crazy.
Yeah, he's not leaving Dallas. I think the Oxnard, California training camp is just a way for Jerry to soak up some rays beach time.
Well, how about this? If there is an NFL team in Los Angeles, how would we rework the divisions? Because right now there's all sorts of stuff going on.
That'd be a mess.
I think it would completely
reorganized. I'd say put all the Cali teams in one division if you're going to do it like
that. Yeah, it would just be something like that. I don't think it'd be a huge deal. You just shuffle a few teams around.
Well, do you think maybe it's time to reorganize divisions to where they actually make sense?
Like, some of them,
yes. You know, Jordan was talking about that last week, too.
Yes.
Talking about seeing a little difference in divisions. And that would be nice, I think, for the fans. And it would hurt some aspects and hurt some of the rivalries.
Yeah, like Dallas's rivalries.
Yeah.
But they need to keep that. But yeah. Like I told him.
But you
want to
keep it, but you want to change it.
Yeah,
I mean,
but like the Patriots division where they're in the Dolphins, the Jets, like come on now. You know,
the Jets Patriots make sense, and the Buffalo Bills, but not the Dolphins.
The Dolphins are way down south,
yeah,
and you have all these northern teams.
Yeah, like they should be in the same division as the Colts.
Like Houston and Indianapolis in the same division. Why?
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, you might as well put Jacksonville, Houston, all of the southern teams in one, and all the northern teams, like basketball. If you're close to the north, you're in the east. If you're close to the south, you're in the west. It makes sense.
And yeah, baseball's all screwed up.
Oh, let's not. Oh, God.
Yeah, but I think it's time for a better reorganization of our divisions. Now, we've seen a little bit of that in college sports, but it's also gone crazy with the American Athletic Conference.
I
want to
see it stay, man. Yeah. I don't want to see.
You don't want to see the Cowboys?
I want to see the Cowboys play the Giants every year. I want to see them play the Eagles every year, and I wouldn't want to see that change. Well, I wouldn't want to watch the Cowboys play Miami.
Right. No.
But what if they worked out the divisions to where and the schedule to where the Cowboys still played the Eagles, the Giants, and the Redskins?
It'll work.
Once
there's a
year.
Huge difference It'll between be that second game
in the first
and
game.
The first game.
That's true.
And so those one game matchups aren't as big a deal as, oh, the Cowboys won the first matchup, let's see what they do in New York. So that's a huge difference.
If anything, move some sorry teams to some other divisions to help them get some wins.
What? Yeah, that's what Jordan wants to see is like a minor league. He wants to see like he doesn't want to. It's because he doesn't want to have to watch Miami Buffalo.
Right. I don't want to.
And Detroit the past.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Last two seasons,
I can't do it. Just put all the good teams in one division that's really competitive. Put all the 500 sorry teams in one.
You can't do that every year, though.
What you're saying is you want, like, the soccer organization where if your team loses consistently enough,
you're down a division. Yeah.
Have to. If you ain't winning, you can't be on TV. You're wasting airtime.
I think that makes sense because, I mean, Detroit Lions have been on the Thanksgiving Day game.
And they lose every year.
Every time. Yeah.
Horrible. Not one, two touchdowns. I'm talking about 21.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I mean, Tony Romo had ridiculous 5-touchdown game against them, and it doesn't make sense.
It kills me. If you're gonna have a Thanksgiving game, put the Cowboys and the Redskins. People are all gonna watch that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
People are gonna watch football on Thanksgiving no matter what.
Well, that's true. That's true. All right, well, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about Ryan Braun. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Let me ask you, how long have you been thinking about getting rid of that old car or truck you've got cluttering up your space? If you thought it was just too much trouble or just not worth your time, you might be interested to know that your unwanted car, truck, or boat can help KETR provide quality programming for Northeast Texas. Call 855-KETR-123 today for details or mouse over support at KETR.org.
All right, we're back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Jordan Davis, and Taylor Phelps. All right, guys, so now we're talking about Ryan Braun. So first, before we say anything about him, I just want to play a little bit of a clip from his 2012 speech.
Oh, God.
Where he said that he was not a cheater, that he'd never done any of this stuff before, and that he would bet his life.
This is Ryan Braun.
Yeah, this is Ryan Braun. So here we go.
If I had done this intentionally or unintentionally, I'd be the first one to step up and say, I did it. By no means am I perfect, but if I've ever made any mistakes in my life, I've taken responsibility for my actions. I truly believe in my heart, and I would bet my life that this substance never entered my body at any point.
Okay, so that was 2012 when he won his appeal for a 50-game suspension for getting caught in 2011 with a positive test for human growth hormone. So what do you guys think of this guy?
Bet on his life just angered so many people, and it infuriates anyone who's a sports fan.
Yeah,
because he's a liar.
He knew he was lying.
It's not even about your drug problem. It's about you're a liar. Mm-hmm. You lied to everyone in baseball, and as we know, baseball is like a cult. Yep. Like the people hate that in baseball.
Yes,
yep. They want you to prove yourself, and they want you know. There's not. It's the same thing with Yasiel Puig,
yeah,
as far as like we don't want him to be an all-star because he hasn't proven himself, and this is a completely different case here, but Ryan Braun is a liar, and he lied to tons of people in the game.
To their face.
To media people, and that's why everybody's ripping this guy now.
Like, if you come out, you know you're a figure. Like, in a town like Milwaukee, you're an all-star. You're the only thing down there worth talking about, because the Bucks are horrible.
And the Packers, except for Aaron Rodgers.
Let's not get on
and
Jaws.
This is an MVP guy.
Yeah, and he was an MVP last year in the National League. He beat out all these players. And then if you know you took it, this is my thing on it. Come clean.
Yeah.
Like, if you know eventually you're going to get caught and it's going to be brought up again, when you have
it's been
the
done
time
countless
to do
times.
It, yes.
People have been they've been caught over and over again.
Like, lying makes it worse for you, because not only do everybody look at you like, okay, he can't be trusted. All your stats has a little asterisk by it. Like, okay, he took performance enhancing drugs. So, okay, yeah, he hit like 500 homers, but how many did he hit by himself?
Right.
So, A-Rod is next. A-Rod is probably sweating bullets right now,
because
Ryan.
And everybody needs to stay tuned, because the way that this situation's
panned
out,
it's
going to
get ugly.
It's looking like it'll get a lot worse. Like, for Ryan Braun to only get this, 65 game suspension?
Yeah, rest of the season.
Just the rest of the season. No,
this could be an event that cleans baseball up, not completely, but really well. This could be something we're talking about 10 years down the road. You remember when Ryan Braun was suspended and everything came out and the floodgates were open. And we learned all this information that we didn't know. This is the Lance Armstrong of baseball.
Yep.
This is a liar. Someone who you don't even care. You stop to care about the cheating.
Yeah.
And you care about the lying.
Yeah.
And that's the line that he's crossed. Just to me, you have to have such a problem when you sit back and you're listening to these players, your fellow players, and they're not on the same team as you, but you're the same kind of people. You're in the same league. You're doing the same things. You took the same steps to get there, and for someone to have cheated to get to where he was, it angered a lot of these people.
It angered a lot of people. Like, there's a lot of minor league players that probably looked up to Ryan Braun. Don't forget about the kids. I mean, you got people looking at you talking about, that's my favorite player, and then ride with you saying he didn't do it. That's a false accusation. And then when it comes, the dirt hits the light, it's like, okay, apparently he's not coming out saying he did it, but for him to take a suspension, like Kurt Schilling said, you're basically telling me you did it. And the fact that you lied to so many people and have people vouch for you and have them look stupid, like, that makes people mad. I don't get it.
Although it's funny that Kurt Schilling, of all people, is calling him a liar and all this stuff, because I don't know about in baseball what Kurt Schilling did, but I know in business he had a video game company that he took like a $5 million loan from some city, and then he was already bankrupt and told him he wasn't.
Yeah.
So he kept that money.
So he has no room to talk.
He shouldn't be on TV. That guy is a crook.
Yeah,
that's a whole other topic.
As far as Biogenesis goes, though, this whole scandal, the Ryan Braun thing is just the beginning to me. It's gonna hit A-Rod pretty hard.
Yeah.
And you know, baseball needs to. If they're gonna make, they need to make a decision quick.
Yeah.
Either we're gonna allow this, or we're gonna stomp it out.
They need to go from this, take the momentum, and go farther.
This might hurt some people. It might cost some people some jobs. It might hurt some families. Mm-hmm. But if you're committed to making a statement and saying you're not going to cheat, and if you cheat, you will be caught and you will be thrown out. And it might hurt baseball.
Yeah.
At first, it might hurt baseball. At first, as in you're not going to have the same superstars. If A-Rod receives a lifetime ban in baseball,
doesn't get in the Hall of Fame,
and never gets back and doesn't get in the Hall of Fame, that's somebody who people followed for a long time.
Right.
But it will make a statement to youth out there. It will make a statement to people in the minors and to people in the majors. Not the big names that are taking this, but the other people that, you know, if we want to get there, we got to do it the right way or we're going to get caught.
Yeah, because now Nelson Cruz is involved in it.
Bartolo Colon, all sorts of people.
Yeah, but as far as Rangers fans, this Nelson Cruz thing, you know, as someone who lives in the Dallas area and cheers for the Rangers and hopes they do well, this is something I even want to see Nelson Cruz hit.
Yeah.
If he's guilty, I want to see him suspended just like anyone
50
else.
50 games, yeah.
50 games. And
do you think 50 games is a little, you know, soft?
Yeah, I think it's just
I think baseball's being soft on Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
Just that's why I think there's something else to do with it.
I think there was
an agreement as in I will give you some information if you take it easy on me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two more questions for you guys about this. First, do you think baseball needs to be harsher on Ryan Braun? Do you think he needs to get a lifetime ban kicked out?
I don't say lifetime. I'll say
a lifetime ban is hard.
I'll say 100 games.
Okay.
I'll say 100 games to start
off
with. Without pay. Okay. Because, first of all, if you're going to do this and you're going to lie about it, you need to be punished for it because you're making your organization look bad, too.
Yeah.
Because now they're going to associate you with a liar. So 100 games without pay, I mean, you're playing baseball. You have money. But 100 games should teach you a lesson. Like, man, I missed, like, almost the whole season. Yeah.
The problem with suspension so far is it's never really hurt anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Ryan
Braun.
It
hurt the team, but it didn't.
Yeah, it'll hurt the team. Like, Ryan Braun's team's not going to make the playoffs. The Brewers are not going to make the playoffs.
Well, they weren't going to this season anyway.
It was too far away
anyway. That's what I'm saying. They're not going to this season.
Yeah.
And with him gone, it doesn't hurt them. And he's still going to get paid. Now, while.
Actually, he's not getting paid.
He's not getting paid for this little duration, but it's not going to hurt him that badly.
No.
And if his contract was expiring, he would get a new contract because someone's going to take a chance on the guy because he's an MVP.
Sure.
So it's not really hurting him that way where it should hurt more because until the penalty's stricter, people are going to keep doing it because this guy pretty much got where he was and it's probably also because of he's a good baseball player. I'm not going to say it's all PEDs, but you could make a case that most of it's because of that.
Yeah.
And that he's making more money than other people because he's cheating.
Mm. Well, here's another question. Do you think it's time for baseball in general to have a harder suspension? Do you think it's time for maybe two times you're caught, you get a lifetime ban?
I think it's, time for ground rules to be set.
If you do it again, if you do it twice, it's basically saying, I don't care.
Yeah.
So by that time, if it's the second time around, like apparently you're not caring what we're doing, what we're trying to do, you need to be suspended. Because, I mean, you have no respect for the game. And, like, I know baseball players take the game very seriously.
If you want to clear up your game, penalties have to be strict.
Right.
We've seen both Roger Goodell and
David Stern
have both pulled in the reins on things like Ron Artest fighting, the whole New Orleans Saints situation. I mean, that was a fight. Got a year long suspension. A whole season was gone.
He hasn't did nothing that crazy.
Things have changed for him.
Yeah.
So not only is it going to be beneficial to your league.
Yeah, to Bud Selig.
But it will be to Bud Selig. It will also be beneficial, I think, to the person because I think in the end, as a human being, I think Ryan Braun will be better.
Right.
The stricter his suspension. Yeah.
The crazy thing about all this is Bud Selig used to own the Milwaukee Brewers, and he lives in Milwaukee now.
Oh, so I know he's mad.
So he is mad.
I know he's heated.
That a guy right under his watch
lied.
Did all this twice.
Twice. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you bet your life on it is like Lucifer came and said, okay, you bet your life on it.
Time to go.
It's time to go. You lied.
Lightning bolt comes
lie
from the
once,
sky.
Lie once, shame on me. Lie twice. Yeah. Big shame on Ryan Braun.
Well, how about this? Do you guys think that in this light, Pete Rose isn't nearly as bad of a guy?
Oh, he betted on baseball. He's still bad.
Yeah,
I don't think he's nearly as bad.
He never cheated.
Oh, he didn't. He didn't, but
he never bet on the games that he was in. He bet on other games.
Yeah.
I don't understand I don't understand why Pete Rose is so hated on for what he did. We have cheaters in the game now.
Yeah,
Pete Rose was a gambler.
Yeah, he is.
Tons
a lot of
athletes have been gamblers.
Gambled on, yes. But
and to not gamble on the games you played in. I mean, I don't understand why Pete Rose is so hated by people. I think most people don't understand the situation. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was such a big deal. You know, it would just came out so quickly, and it was such a big deal that he was. You know, such a strict, harsh punishment. These guys are actually cheating.
Pete Rose is in the category of like the World Series scandal with the White Sox.
Well, and that is way worse than Pete Rose because they threw a game to win that bet.
Yeah, for money. They threw a game for money.
Yeah.
This is like we're gonna shoot ourselves up to win games,
and
that's not right.
It.
No one wants to see that, and the league only exists because of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fans are the only reason that the league makes money and that the league exists.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to another topic. We got the Cowboys today, and we've got NCAA to talk about. We want to talk more Rangers, of course, though, because we've got Big news with the Rangers. Matt Garza is
officially
in Texas. The trade, let's see if I can remember the trade parameters. It was Mike Oltz, some
Matt
guy named...
Graham.
Yeah, Matt... No, Justin
Graham. Justin Graham.
And another outfielder.
CJ... No, it was a pitcher. CJ Edwards.
CJ Edwards.
A Class A pitcher. And then some guy that hasn't been
Player
named
to
yet.
Be named.
Yeah.
So, four prospects for a 6-1 with a 3.17 ERA
pitcher.
It's going to
help them out tremendously.
Yeah, and I think it's a big win for the Rangers.
And his last six games have been awesome.
Yeah.
It's been like a 1-point-something ERA.
Yeah, 1-point-whatever.
And I know he's happy to be out of Chicago.
Yeah.
But the most exciting thing may be Grimm gone.
Yeah.
That might be the best part of the trade is not seeing Grimm on the mound anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, think about who else we got rid of. Mike Oltz did okay when he came up to the Rangers. Played well, but he went back to the minors because he wasn't the best. And he's been a big injury thing ever since this last winter when he was playing in the Dominican League. He got a concussion, and he hasn't been the same since. He's been stuck at the AAA level because he can't get back out of his slump.
Yeah, to have two quality starting pitchers now like Garza and Darvish, and that's what we saw Darvish last night pitch very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rangers have put themselves in a great position.
Yeah, I seriously think we could get those games back from Oakland and maybe even be the division.
And like we posted
chance.
A question on our Twitter the other day of would you like to see us add bats or see us add pitchers?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think what we did was best, pitchers. I think pitchers in the end is what's going to, you know, win you World Series and win you playoff
wins
series.
Championships.
Yeah. Wins championships.
Yeah, if you can't hit the ball, you can't get runs unless you get
That's
walks.
Where it all starts. Yeah. It all starts on that pitching mound.
I mean, we saw the Rangers back in the 90s and all the way through the 2000s, the early 2000s. They had great batting forever. They've always been good at hitting. And now we're finally starting to get good pitchers, and that's
pitchers
going to
be the more consistent. Mm-hmm. Batters are going to go up and down. They're going to have slumps but pitchers, and they're going to have minor slumps, but they're going to be a lot more consistent in what they do. And you have that rotation than anybody that plays in the field.
Look at the Rays now. They're like 18-2 because of their pitching. They're pitching only giving up 2 runs a game. Like, if you're only scoring 2 runs a game, you're not going to win.
You're making it a lot easier on your teammates when you're only scoring 2 runs a game.
And speaking of new signs, the Red Sox just signed Dustin Pedroia, 7 years, $100 million.
That is a lot of money for him.
But we need him.
He's a great player. I just don't know if the 7 years is the best.
Do you
part.
See anybody on the Rangers getting a contract worth 100 like 7 years, 100 million?
Not right now. Not anyone
There's no one young enough to deserve that contract.
No one young enough, and no one that's of that great of value that you're an irreplaceable or you're.
If Jerkson Profar was hitting, you know, like
yeah,
Mike
if,
Trout
if
is
Profar
hitting,
came out and was just doing ridiculous things.
Yeah, you can see Profar getting
for, over a course of time, like say he the way he started.
Yeah, if he was playing like Mike Trout is right now for the Angels or Chris Davis is playing for the Orioles, he'd be
definitely yeah.
But the way he's playing right now,
he's like two up and down.
Yeah,
man.
And no one else is offering him $100 million. I mean, the thing is keeping a player away from other people. That's the Dustin Pedroia thing. Is how are we going to keep you? How are we going to compete with the other people out there? And that was the biggest issue in that signing.
Right. Well, this is pretty much a moot question now that they've signed such a great pitcher. But, and this is a big if the Rangers don't make the playoffs this season, do you see Ron Washington and or John Daniels losing their jobs?
I don't see Ron Washington losing his job. Okay. I mean, overall, throughout the injuries and the Josh Hamilton situation, I mean, he's done a pretty good job with the Rangers. I mean, the
only person to ever take them to the World Series.
He did it
or
twice.
Win a playoff game.
He won multiple playoff games. Mm-hmm. So I mean, why fire him when all he done is like, okay, he had that one spiel where he was talking about his drug use.
Yeah, but, cocaine thing.
But ever since then, I mean, it looked like he been on the straight and narrow. Yeah, the Rangers winning games just. You can't help the teams get better and at the right times and just have a better team.
Yeah.
So I don't feel as though they should fire anybody.
I don't
what
think they
John
should.
Daniels?
I think I could see it.
Yeah, though. I could. We can definitely see somebody.
Yeah, I could see that happening. And that's what frightens me about the Rangers is that you fire a guy like Ron Washington, well, you might be in a worse position. Who are you going to get better?
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, you're in a good situation right now. You're better than you've ever been. I don't want the Rangers. The Rangers, and this is the fans too, it always seems like Now that they're good, it's like they've owed something. Mm-hmm. You were terrible. You've been terrible forever.
Yeah.
And you finally have something good, and now all of a sudden you think that you're you want to break it up. It's the same thing with every Dallas franchise.
Mark Cuban.
And it's the most frustrating thing to me is that they think they're better than they are.
Yeah.
And I love Dallas sports. You know, yeah. I'm a huge Dallas sports fan, but the Cowboys always that way. They think they need a new coach every year. The Rangers, you know, they were terrible, and then they think that they're owed Josh Hamilton. They think that they're owed Ron Washington, and they take them for granted, and they get rid of these guys. And I don't know. It's just so frustrating to me to watch these Dallas sports franchises that think they're entitled to everything.
I think they like the soap opera.
It is. Like Dallas sports is a huge soap opera.
It's like the main blonde girl off of Mean Girls. That's Dallas
because
sports.
When Mark Cuban traded Tyson Chandler, that was I was done trying to support the Mavericks.
That was stupid.
That really like
and they just didn't offer him enough money.
And you let him go to New York. And it's like then Terry left. I was like, okay, he don't care no more. Like he's just leaving Dirk out there to dry. But you know,
it's all Dallas thinking they're hotter than they are when they're really the only one that can attract huge free agents is the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. And that's just because they're America's team.
Well, we mentioned people losing their jobs. Let's move on to the Cowboys and talk the coach that could lose his job. Now, Jerry Jones has just come out and said that this isn't a Armageddon year, end quote, for Jason Garrett, who has 2 years left on his contract. But what do you guys think?
Jerry Jones never gotten rid of anybody but Tom Landry. He's fired people before, but
he's gone through 7 coaches in his 24-year ownership, and no coach has lasted more than 5 years.
And he's always the thing is he always says that he's sticking behind the coach, and then a week later they're gone.
Yeah. Well, let's look at who else has had a lot of coaches in this same time period. Oakland is the only team to have more. And they've had 9.
That's because of Al Davis.
Yeah.
Let's
talk about the other teams that have had a lot of coaches in the same time period. And we'll establish a pattern of, let's say, suckability. Kansas City has had 7. The Redskins, the Dolphins, and the Lions have each had 6. Now
do
you don't
think
want to be in the company.
What about the Browns?
No.
I know they had like at least.
The Browns have only had 4.
Do you think that is more because they're searching for the right guy? Or, I mean, do you think they haven't had a Bill Belichick to hang their hat on?
I think some of it has to do with patience.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of it has to do with patience.
Do you think they need
coaches
to wait longer and see what that coach
can
do?
I mean,
Jason Garrett's been given quite a few chances here.
Well, he's only had 2.5 seasons as a head coach.
Okay, that's true. It seems like he's been there forever. But
offensive coordinator, he's been there for 7 years.
He's a good offensive coordinator. He's pretty decent.
Yeah. He's okay.
His old
Bill Callahan is better suited.
Tony Romo runs around pretty good.
Yeah.
I think a lot less credit is given. There's a lot more blame always placed on Romo than there is credit. And he deserves the blame, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But he also deserves a lot of the credit.
Yeah.
I do think Bill Callahan's gonna help.
Yeah. And I think the new person on defense, I mean, the Cowboys always have the talent. It's just Jerry, to me, don't let his coaches coach because he's like always hovering over them. Like
he is.
You mess up, it could be you.
I mean, now Jason Garrett's the towel boy.
Yeah, doing anything.
He's the highest paid towel boy in the NFL.
Yeah,
I do know as a towel boy, if he is a towel boy, he's probably the most pressured towel boy.
Because he can lose his
keep
job.
Those
you never see a
nice
guy who
fresh.
Can lose his job and not have control over defense or offense.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, not be calling any plays at all.
He has literally no say in any of this right now. He's just a figurehead now.
Yeah, and
he's still going to get
crazy,
all the blame.
But maybe it's what the Cowboys need. Maybe they do need just a figurehead. Let some guys work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Let Jason handle all the media, you know, run it, talk what he wants to talk, and handle Jerry. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what they need.
Well, let's just talk about Jason Garrett and his 2.5 seasons that he's got. He's yet to make the playoffs, going 8-8 and losing to the NFC East rivals in their potential division winning game
that's
of the
not
previous
good.
Two seasons.
That's like Michigan losing to Ohio State.
Yeah. And not making the
every year.
A lot of
game.
It comes down to players, though.
I mean,
you can blame the coach so much, and the coach gets a lot of blame, and they know that getting into it. But, you know, so much of it's on the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like we deem them responsible enough.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing that I have on the Cowboys today is that there's been a lot of hamstring issues. Now, the only one on our outline today is a Ratliff, but there's been, I think, six other Cowboys in training camp that have got a hamstring. Now, what do you guys think's coming from that? I'm no trainer. I don't know how hamstrings injuries work. But do you think there's something going on that there's been so many hamstring injuries on the Cowboys?
Probably Cowboys not working out in the offseason.
Yeah, that's I mean, mainly what it is. Hamstring, I mean, as long as you work out and stretch correctly.
It's going to be a nagging injury for them through training camp. But that'll just be a lot of guys sitting out on the sidelines. Right. So
that just shows me
just
that
puts the Cowboys
a lot of them
back.
Haven't been doing what they supposed to be doing.
The most impressive thing I've heard from Cowboys training camp is Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, he got the cyst out of his back.
Yeah, he's
and,
back
and he's
in
playing
full
well. I mean, they said he's doing well after, you know, to pass his conditioning test and just to come off that surgery.
Yeah.
Maybe Romo's a little more mature now and really is taking on responsibility.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
Well, let's finish off the show pretty quick with NCAA. Now, we got a lot of stuff to talk about for the Big 12.
Does the Big 12 still exist?
The Big 12
still exists. See, it's like...
the Big 12 with 10 teams still exists.
It so, seems like the Big 12 is not relevant anymore.
Yeah. But let's talk about who's going to win the Big 12 this season. We've got... let's name the 10 teams that are in the Big 12 just for you guys that don't know what's going on. Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor, and TCU are... sticking around, and then we've also got Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa State, and West Virginia.
I see Oklahoma winning it.
Okay.
I mean, because Texas, ever since Vince Young left, I haven't seen Texas just go back to that.
Well, Colt
dominant.
McCoy was really good, too.
Yeah, until Alabama got a hold of him.
Yeah, and that he should have played in that championship game. I think they would have won. Texas would have won.
They put a quarterback in that was scared. You could tell in his
eyes. He was like
eyes.
A freshman.
He was
like
scared.
And he hadn't played
all year. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah. Right. Let's get real. He's still.
You basically tell your team, okay, we're going to lose because we're going to put a guy in that has never snapped the ball before.
But he still got within two touchdowns of winning that championship.
Oh, yeah. But
I mean, that was insane.
After that, you didn't hear nothing about him.
Yeah, he dropped off the face of the map.
Does it seem like now that SEC is so popular and you got people like Johnny Football, you got Alabama and Nick Saban, that it's hurting? It's hurting other conferences terribly.
Because they have nothing to compete with it.
Because... Okay, if I am a casual football fan or I am just someone who likes to watch football, I'm not going to spend my Saturday watching the Big 12.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to spend my Saturday watching the SEC and whoever's playing Alabama and whoever's playing Johnny Football. And that's what I'm going to do. And so I really think that's hurting the conference like the Big 12. I'm joking around like, does it even exist? Does it even exist in the back of our minds? Because to me, it's irrelevant. It's kind of like, who cares who's in the Big 12? Because the national champion's coming out the SEC.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Because if you think about it, like, an interesting stat for people out there. Did you know the NFL draft had a total of 80 SEC players get drafted? Mm. That's double more than any other conference in the world. Yeah. Like, when you hear numbers like that, it's like, okay, we clearly see who's the best. And, I mean, if you look at it, all the bowl games this past season, SEC won almost half of them.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like even their teams like Ole Miss is like 6-7 or 7-6.
Although Florida got demolished by Louisville.
That was a surprise.
And I loved it. I loved every
I loved it, too, but I was not expecting Florida to get their butt kicked like that. But nowadays, it seems like the SEC just has so much to offer. Mm-hmm. It's like the other conferences are now like rebound conferences.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if Alabama or LSU don't want me, I guess I'll go to Baylor or I guess I'll go to West Virginia or something so I can start. But most players now, they're like, okay.
If any of these Big 12 schools come to your door, and now at this point A&M does, you're probably going to A&M.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Just because of
the
media and the popularity surrounding them
and
you know, all
the
buzz.
Day, I mean, like just 4 years ago, you would have laughed if you said, I'm picking A&M over UT.
Or Oklahoma. That's definitely huge. Like all Dallas kids, a lot of them went to OU.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're going to see them start going to A&M.
Yeah, Oklahoma losing to Notre Dame last year hurt them a lot, too. Because it's like, you're a big Oklahoma and you lost to Notre Dame.
So
Oklahoma,
who wins the Big 12, though?
I say Oklahoma or Kansas State.
I see, honestly, I think Oklahoma State's going to win it.
That's my pick, Oklahoma
State. I think
because
Oklahoma State has had three back-to-back 10-win seasons, and they've beat Oklahoma, I think
Oklahoma State wins football and basketball Big 12 championships.
I think Oklahoma State honestly could play in the national title game.
Wow.
I really see them playing in the national title
game. If they went undefeated, it'd be hard to say that they – and they can go undefeated.
Oh,
it would be
easily.
Hard to say that they don't deserve it or shouldn't be.
Yeah. I think their toughest challenge, honestly, is – Kansas State and Oklahoma. I think those are the only
two.
The
reason
why
I say Kansas State, because Kansas State is always right there.
Yeah, and like, Bill Snyder's
really you never hear about them, but they're always in the top 15 every year. And, like, they just lose that one game to, like,
that they shouldn't
lose. To Baylor last year.
Or TCU or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, why you lose?
Yeah.
And you blow everybody out. But Oklahoma State, I can see. But I just say Oklahoma or – because, you know, Oklahoma always seems to have the home games right when they the clutch games come about. And – Bob Stoops still is a good coach, but I think the only thing – Iowa State is a team to look out for in the Big 12 because they low-key has been defeating some people.
They've been pretty good the last few seasons.
Yeah, they've been pretty decent.
Well, let's talk about the Big 12 in general. First, do you guys think there's any chance of another school coming to the Big 12?
I could see it.
Texas schools probably. Houston. Okay. Houston's my biggest one.
Houston and SMU would make sense.
That I could definitely see, and SMU would make
sense. I could
definitely
see them two making it because
But they
right
are
–
But then what does the Big 12 become when Houston – I mean, and it's just back to, like, the Southwest Conference when you had all the Texas schools and you had, like, Arkansas, but you won't. You obviously won't have Arkansas this time around. But definitely, like, Houston and SMU, big enough market schools.
That'd be
big
six
enough
Texas
schools,
teams.
You don't see a Texas conference besides A&M.
I mean, you might as well. They just replace A&M.
Yeah. But those two are signed on long-term now to the American Athletic Conference, what was the Big East. So,
as we've seen, though, people
else?
Can switch.
Oh,
they can pull those deals off like no other.
I think, honestly, the Big East is just treading water. I think they're going to die pretty soon because they lost those seven basketball schools, which is what made them up in the first place. So, I don't know. I don't think they'll stick around for much longer. But what about this? Is it time to rename the Big 12? I mean, it's been 10 teams for the past four seasons now.
I mean, I think... The name Big 12 has so much tradition to come with it. But if you don't have the teams in there that used to bring the tradition, you need to go ahead and switch it up because it's not it can't be the Big 12 to me without A&M in it.
Yeah, and the Big 10 has now had, what, 12 to 14 teams the past few seasons?
I mean, they should just call that Northeast
Central. I mean, if they want to create some more attention and buzz their way, they need a name change.
Yeah.
And the Big 12 right now just seems so stagnant. It seems like it's...
It
just
seems
irrelative.
Like it's a conference full of average teams.
And this might be a lot caused by A&M and Johnny Manziel because there's so much focus around him that it's kind of like, I'm not going to pay attention to Texas because no one wants to hear about them.
Yeah, even though they still bring in the most revenue of any college team in the world.
They still
do. Yeah.
But I mean, when A&M, let's face it, when A&M went to Alabama and beat Alabama, they got the popularity over UT.
Yeah, that, like,
that did it.
Transformed
their
school.
That made the shift because it's like, okay, these people are for real.
And
they,
it's crazy how a football team can do that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that basketball team,
Florida Gulf Coast.
Florida Gulf Coast. They're
crashed their servers.
Yeah, the people signing up for classes, people wanting to be on the basketball team. Now the coach left.
But
still, even with the coach leaving,
they're still gonna get.
We know who Florida Gulf Coast is now.
Every year, I guarantee you, next college basketball season, people.
Yeah,
are
and
be
those
like,
those guys that never would have had a chance of being in the NBA, they probably have a good chance.
Good chance because they was throwing oops like they was Lob City.
Yeah, yeah. Well. If they don't rename the Big 12 and if they don't add anybody, do you think it's time to organize back into divisions or just keep the everybody play everybody rule? I think
just keep it. Everybody.
You got the
playoffs.
There's
not enough teams, really.
Right.
I mean, we might as well see everybody play everybody, and that'll create that does create a little bit of interest. Now, if you add Houston and SMU, I could see them being in a division.
Have a Texas division and
everybody
else.
But then again, if you do that, everybody's going to be like, oh, so apparently they're better than us. They have their own Texas division.
The Texas division would be interesting, though.
Oh, sure.
There would definitely be a lot of Texas people, but I think it hurts them on a national scale.
Oh, yeah, because recruiting-wise, you're not going to want to come to six schools that are all in the same state.
Yeah.
Like, we're Texas. We're better than everybody else. Ah.
Yeah, and that's why West Virginia was added to the Big 12, because they are in another state. It's another pipeline for recruiting.
But definitely.
I know that traveling sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Coming all the way from West Virginia to, like, Iowa to Texas.
Yeah.
It's like...
Going to Texas Tech to go to West Virginia is the worst travel.
You do not want to play when you get off that flight. It's like, why?
Well, Let's talk some other Big 12 news. Bob Bowlsby wants a reformation of the organization, the NCAA. Now, this was the media day yesterday, and he called for just these things to be added. Perjury and subpoena, being able to use those as tools for investigations into rule-breaking. Like right now, you can't get someone for lying or taking evidence away from a case, like in the Miami case or other cases against recruiting. And you can't get a subpoena to search for stuff. So those are two big tools that need to be added. And then he says there needs to be rules for each different sport instead of one set of rules for all sports. What do you guys think about that?
How about you just follow the rules, period?
Okay. I think rules should be sport-specific, though, too. Yeah, like I kind of agree with that as far as, you know, some rules don't make sense. Yeah. And
like hockey and football shouldn't have the same rules.
No, they shouldn't. Oh, they shouldn't. Basketball, I mean, not. Yeah.
All sports have their own separate rules because it's a different sport, period.
Mm-hmm. But as far as like just NCAA rules and regulations, I think there's some differences that if you really look there, you're like, well, what does this matter?
I think NCAA just want to be like this big, strict powerhouse saying you can't do this, you can't do that. But what they're not realizing is the game is changing. So you can't do stuff that you did back in like the 90s or something, because players now, like high school players, are like cash cows now. So like you bring the right player in your program, your program all is going to benefit from that one player.
Yep.
So like the recruitment issues, like I'm so tired of hearing about teams like Oregon and all these other teams getting in trouble for recruitment.
USC,
it's like, like you have to do stuff these days. You have to do something different to get these people to say, okay, I choose your school.
Yeah.
Because other schools going to already have an advantage because of their name, where they're located, the conference. So some of these schools need like extra stuff to help get recruits, because without it, it'd be like trash.
Like, it's insane that they completely banned texting. No coach can text a player.
That doesn't make any sense to me. And people, more people in America text than anything else.
And phone calls, yeah. Well, just the last thing that we need to talk about today. What do you think is more likely for the NCAA? That they get reorganized or that everyone leaves and forms a new organization?
I think football seceding is becoming more talked about. But I think it's unlikely. I think just seceding the NCAA is not going to happen. It's too big of an organization.
There's too much.
Yeah, there's just too much going on. The only possibility that could actually happen is a football seceding and having just power conferences.
Yeah.
Just four huge conferences, and that's the national champion. But as far as like swimming's not going to. Like, swimming teams don't care. Yeah. Like, they're fine the way the NCAA is.
So baseball teams.
You got a lot of sports that aren't gonna choose that route, right, or don't want that route.
So reorganization then?
Reorganization.
Yeah.
That because the seating is just too much paperwork. That's going to take away from the game. Mm-hmm. People going to worry about, okay, where we're going to be put at. I don't want to be put in a place where we're not going to succeed in or shine.
Yeah.
I mean, reorganization seems to be, because nowadays it seems like teams are now saying, okay, we add this team, our whole conference as a whole can get more publicity because of this one team. So, okay, how about we put this team in here, and then our guys can say, oh, okay, we have a chance to prove ourselves against the big boys because they're in your conference now. I think that's way more easier, and people will want to see that, because all these teams, every year you see a BCS team that undefeated but always get cheated out of being in a big game. Put some big names in their conference and see if they're really about that.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm about with.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today. Pretty long discussion. I'm sure people will enjoy this podcast, though. Got a lot to talk about on Friday. We'll hopefully have the new softball coach for A&M Commerce in. Then we got lots of high school previews coming up in the next few weeks, so make sure you stay tuned. This is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Jordan Davis.
And I'm Taylor Phelps.
And we will see you guys on Friday.